All right, top of the hour. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. from Northern California, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 14, the fifth paragraph, starting with "While I lay in the hospital," and finishing with "They in turn might work with others." OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting to our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I now ask Deb E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Deb E. from Montana, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I shall pass.
Thank you, Deb E. Next is the 12th traditions. For Juanice N., please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for membership, for OA membership, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Wani-Sen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 14, paragraph 5, starting with while I lay in the hospital, finishing with they in turn might work with others. And I will ask Dion R. to begin reading.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. Perhaps I could help some of them, and they in turn might work with others. Alrighty then. Yes, that's to me, Suzanne. Pass it forward. Keep passing it forward. This is not my gift. I'll say me. My gift from the program is not a selfish one where I want to be greedy like I might have been with food or whatever, or people, places, and things. I have to keep passing it forward. And that's how I keep it. I give it forward and forward. And that's what I'm getting at. They in turn might work with others. So it's like I freely give it. I don't charge anyone. And when I first came to the program, when people would freely give to me the spiritual program of action, I thought there was a catch to it. It's like people can't do that just because. And some of them I knew before. It was like, no, they can't be given that unconditional love. They never did before. The gift is, when they say, when some people say the program is a selfish program, to me that means I can't keep it unless I give it away. So therefore, I want to keep it. It is a selfish, but it's a love. I'm learning through that program of action, which he talked about in the hospital, is I'm giving it the program of action that the guys brought to him, and he would in turn give it to others because I want to keep it. Bill found out he needed to keep it, and that's why the ball keeps rolling. And one of the founders of Vision for You used to say, I don't know, she probably didn't still do, but she would always say, that's the charge I have. That's the charge I must keep in order to have a good quality of life, sanity, and abstinence. It's more than abstinence to me. It's recovery. And therefore, food is no longer haunting me, or I got to avoid it like the plague because I continually freely give only what was freely given to me. I can't make up stuff. I don't need to lie. I just keep it simple. And with that, I pass and thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this program of action. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. All right. So we are now opening it up for sharing. Please note that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, or prior to that, you're welcome to share today. And let me just see if there's anything else I want to add there. Okay, so I'll take names one name at a time, please.
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
April B.
April G.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Donna B.
Mo H.
Donna B. and Mo H. Okay, we're going to stop there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'll take one more.
Carrie K.
Stop there then. So it was a Carrie K?
Carrie, T as in Tom, Carrie K.
Terry, thank you. Okay, great. So I've got Stephen G., April G., Wendy B., Donna B., Mo H., and Terry K., and thank you all for coming in one at a time. So we'll start with Stephen G., followed by April G.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. In the preceding paragraphs, Bill W. is describing his spiritual experience, this experience that he can't explain. And he goes to Silkworth, and Silkworth can't explain it. It can't be explained by human understanding. And one of the features of that spiritual experience is a complete revolution in his thinking. And so far in this story, we've been described a person who is extremely self-centered. And now suddenly a thought comes to him that would not have come to him before, which is the idea that he should go out and be of service to others. And he should give it freely with no intention of getting anything in receipt. And the 12th step tells us that in order to maintain our spiritual experience, we must carry the message. And we must carry the message without any ideas of anything in return. And I found that to be true. And in Bill's case, he goes out, and this is how he maintains his connection to his higher power. He can't maintain it until he carries the message, which is the nature of the problem and the nature of the solution. And because of this simple thought that came to him because of a higher power, we've seen the effects on millions and millions of people's lives, and it's including my own, and that's a real miracle. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Stephen G. Next up is April G., followed by Wendy B.
Hi, this is April B. It's B as in boy. Sorry, it's not the G. Calling from Virginia. What's so important in that paragraph is, you know, carrying the message. Carrying the message is part of the message. So, and that sort of sounds sort of crazy, but when I think about, you know, what I have to do to get and stay abstinent, carrying the message is part of that. And when I'm going through the big book with sponsees, and, you know, we're going through the notes and, you know, doing the step work and the fourth step and the preparing, you know, for the ninth step, and hey, here's what the 10th step looks like, you know, there's also always the 12th step, the carrying the message part to others, the paying it forward, as was already said. You know, you got to do that. I can't keep this abstinence and this recovery without carrying it to someone else. And whoever else it gets, you know, carried to also has to carry it. It's true for every single one of us. And the idea of, you know, he's thinking about the thousands, which just started rereading. I think I'm in the preface and going through the second preface where they're talking about how much the fellowship of AA grew in 2 years. And it was, you know, at one point it was from 800 people after the first year to 8,000 people in the second year. And of course, you know, the further into the prefaces of the book you go, the later the numbers get and the bigger the numbers are. It is, you know, it was astounding and amazing. You know, Bill was thinking, oh, the thousands, and now it's literally millions, you know, around the world. And that is that kind of reach, I think, only happens if you're coming from a place of intrinsic, doing it for free, doing it because it has to be done, doing it because it's the right thing to do. I think for me, I do eventually get to a place where I'm carrying the message because it's the right thing to do, not just because it's the thing that's going to keep me, you know, abstinent, sober, whatever, attached to the program and, you know, in close contact with my higher power. And that's all I wanted to share. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, April B. Next up is Wendy B., followed by Donna B.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and the line that says, hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. So the key phrase to me in that sentence right now is glad to have. You know, the, you know, they're looking for an answer. You know, they're hopeless, and they know they have a problem. And, you know, when I just think someone has a problem, but they don't, you know, see it as a problem, and I'm just trying to fix them and force them to accept my solution, you know, that they aren't even interested in. And, you know, in the chapter on working with others, it says, don't waste time trying to persuade. You may spoil a later opportunity. You know, and that's been my experience, you know, when I try to force my solution on others and they're so busy resisting me and my opinions that they can't hear, you know, God, who might have been trying to bring them to a bottom, you know. And, you know, I'm interfering in God's work. You know, it's his job to bring us to the end of our self-will and our good ideas, you know, to a place of desperation and willingness to ask him for help. And, you know, he knows what it will take, you know, for each individual to get to their knees, you know, and humbly surrender to his will for their life. And, you know, he's orchestrating all the circumstances that will culminate, you know, in their complete defeat, you know, an awareness that they need a miracle and, you know, that they need God's intervention. So I get to just, you know, take a hands-off approach, you know, and watch it unfold in other people's lives and not try to push my answer on people. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Next up is Donna B. And please share your location with everyone when you check in.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. One of the things that really strikes me about this paragraph is that, you know, leading up to this point, Bill really makes a compelling case for how selfish, self-centered, and fearful he's been in his life. And that although he wanted to be helpful in some regards, the addiction to liquor destroyed his ability to even show up for his wife when she had a child or to help his in-laws as they were falling ill. And here it's as if it very naturally just comes an intuitive thought that maybe I could help other people now that I'm not in the bondage to the alcohol. Maybe now I have something that I can share with others based on the experience that I had. So in some ways, what we learn in the doctor's opinion about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind are revolutionary ideas that have completely changed the lives of millions of people. But this idea, sort of born inside of him while laying in the hospital bed, that maybe there's this possibility that Bill could share with other people the experience that he had, is equally as revolutionary, if not more revolutionary, than the idea of the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. Because we learn that in helping others, that's our greatest immunity from picking up again ourselves. And it's by carrying the message that the fellowship had the opportunity to grow by leaps and bounds. So it sounds like this sort of small little message laying in bed, maybe I could help others, but it's in fact revolutionary and profound and has altered the lives of millions of people, myself being one of them. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And hey, Mo, before you start, I realized I did not do the share IDs. I knew I forgot something. So I want to do the share IDs for July 13th, yesterday, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 19173. That's 19173. And then today, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 19179. That's 19179. Thank you so much. And next up, we have Mo H.
Yeah, good morning, Donna. That's okay. We're all human. We make those little things.
Thank you, Mo.
You're welcome. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and I live in Northern California. Words that are jumped out at me is the thought came. And there's Bill lying in the hospital bed, you know, not really knowing what happened to him, but it was a bright light experience. And he had a thought. And it was a revolutionary thought, like everyone else has said. But to me, Bill writing this, it's like he's like a genius writing this book and sharing all of this with others, that thousands of hopeless alcoholics would recover. It's like, how did he know? Well, he didn't. That was God speaking through him, I believe. And when I have a thought like that and I'm abstinent, I don't get those thoughts when I'm not abstinent, or I get them, but I don't hear them or follow them. But when I'm abstinent and I have a thought and it's out of my thinking, I know it's a higher power thinking, that I will follow through on it. And, you know, over the weekend, talking about helping others, and I don't know why this happened to me, but I believe it was God. I had three different people call me or text me and tell me that they couldn't get out of the food. They couldn't stop. And I have a method where I work with people and I ask them if they're abstinent right then, and or if they want to be abstinent, and are they desperate, and are they willing to go to any lengths? And usually it's a yes, yes. And I say, well, what's your next meal? Well, it's lunch. Well, do you have abstinent food? Yes. Okay. You eat your abstinent lunch, and when you're finished, you text me. And then if you have a snack, you let me know. And then dinner, text me. And all three people are slowly finding sponsors and slowly recovering, and that's giving service and being of help. And that's why phone calls are so important, to be there for others. And you know, when I miss and I don't follow up on a phone call, I really don't, you know, feel so good about myself. But I love that this message can so freely be given. I don't have to do anything. I have sponsees that have been so scared, and I was in the beginning to sponsor. And, you know, when I don't know the answer, I just go to my sponsor. And someone had a question for me the other day that I didn't know the answer, and I went to a former sponsor who really knows the big book, and she gave me the answer. And that's how simple it is. That's how we help each other. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. Next up, we have it's Terry K. And then after Terry, we'll take some more names.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Terry K., recovered in Tennessee. I'm on the list in Missouri, though. You know, to freely give something, you know, I didn't grow up being freely given anything. Everything had conditions, especially love. So to come into a recovery program where I had a sponsor who freely gave to me was actually very uncomfortable. I felt like I always wanted to give her something in return to pay her for her service. And she was always very gracious and gave freely. And then when it came my turn to give freely, it's been really tough. You know, I put my name out there. I've offered service in my meetings. I've sponsored people you know, come in by the hundreds and leave by the 99s, as we know, so it's tough. And I've learned that that's okay. I have to keep being willing to be of service, offering myself of service. And when my higher power has the right person at the right time, he puts that person in front of me. And I'm grateful that did happen recently, because I have that healthy fear that, you know, if I don't give it away, I won't get to keep it. And sometimes, because I was in the shoes of the person, I was the person who was uncomfortable with receiving service being freely given. I think when we truly receive that, and we then are in a position to give it away, only then, it's kind of like parenthood. You only forgive your parents once you become a parent. And so you only really understand why your sponsor freely gave service when you begin to do it. It's to save their lives. It's to save my life. And so it's a full circle that we keep on giving. Otherwise, none of us would be here. And so I'm grateful. I was nervous to share. Felt like I didn't really have a lot to offer. But then I felt, well, maybe for that person who wants to be of service and can't find somebody to serve, just keep trying. There's lots of way to serve, but keep trying to sponsor, because that's how we're going to keep this thing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry Kay. So we are on page 14, paragraph 5, while I lay in the hospital. And we're going to open up the line for more folks to share. And remember that if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please do not share to allow others to share. And I especially welcome folks who have never shared before to jump in today. So please, one at a time, I'll take a handful of names.
Cheryl.
And M.
So I have Cheryl, and I have Ann M.
Laureen.
Hello.
W.
Rachel.
Laureen
from Israel.
W. Yep. Rachel. All right, we'll start there. So Cheryl, if I could get your first initial of your last name and location, please start. And so if Cheryl can unmute and everyone else mute, please.
Hi, this is Cheryl from Ventura, California. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everybody who has shared, and thank you for your service this morning. What came to my mind as I was listening and looking at this, at the book here, is that he's just done all the steps. Bill has just done all the steps. So the previous pair, he had a spiritual awakening, right, where the mountaintop blew through and through. And prior to that, he's gone through, he's recalled his experience with Ebby. He's realized that, you know, his friend suggested choose your own conception. He's done the third step. Then he visits with Ebby, his schoolmate, I think it's Ebby, and they go through the fourth and step. And, you know, he's going to be willing to make his amends. He does the 11th step, sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength. And now here he is, and he gets an intuitive thought. I can't get an intuitive thought unless I do these steps. That's really purely from God, in my view. And I think that's the message here. So, and he's going to test it, because he talks about that they have to be tested. And that, I think he's referring to the four absolutes. Is it honest? Is it kind? I'm blanking out on what they are right now. I'm a little nervous. But that's what excites me. I can follow a food plan, but that's not going to, I'm the type of food addict that needs a spiritual solution. So following a food plan isn't going to give me the intuitive thought from a higher power. And that I believe, and I love what people said about it being revolutionary. It's just exciting, so exciting to me. And it makes me more committed to working these steps and living these steps in everything in my life. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Next up, we have Ann M.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. It's Ann M. from Washington State. When I was reading this small paragraph, it occurred to me that that this is like a spiritual awakening from another spiritual awakening for Bill to see that he needs to help others and to freely give himself. And I see also an extension of what Bill W. So eloquently writes about here, is that besides helping other suffering compulsive overeaters, I can freely practice step 12 by living my life and sharing with everyone I interact with my newly acquired traits of kindness, acceptance, tolerance, and joy, and which I didn't have before becoming recovered in OA. So I so appreciate every single word of this book. And oh my gosh, I could read Bill W's writing and Dr. Bob and the stories over and over and over again and still get something new to help others and help my by helping myself too. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann M. in Washington. Next up is Lauren W., followed by Rachel in Israel.
Hi, this is Lauren W. from Rockland, Massachusetts. Excuse me. And I am a compulsive overeater. And this paragraph is just wonderful. The thought came that there are thousands of hopeless alcoholics. Well, I'm one of the thousands or even millions of compulsive overeaters. And I found that working with sponsees and sharing and listening at meetings helps me so much in my program, more than I can help them at times. They have taught me many lessons in being a compulsive overeater. Right now I have 4 active sponsees and 2-3 sponsors, and they all work together to help me in my recovery. And Bill W., as someone else so eloquently shared, that we're near the end of his story, and he has exemplified every step of the way in explaining his story. And it's just wonderful. I have read some of the books that he refers to through the Oxford Group and through Emmett Fox, and they really enlighten my program. And I can't say enough, in being in this program for 30 years, that I have really benefited from Bill's story and from the entire AA Big Book. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine W. in Massachusetts. Next up is Rachel in Israel. Rachel, please press star 1 to unmute yourself.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow. I love this program with all my heart, and I try to tell about it to everybody who doesn't run away fast enough. And it happens so that doesn't have to be that the person is obviously in need of this, because we don't know. But because my car was, thank goodness, stolen, because it was easier to drive around the highways around Chicago than in my little street, because of many reasons. But and part of it is because I don't have the same fast reactions as is needed here. But this point of of it being an absolute necessity of demonstrating this principle, especially, particularly, was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. This is another point, I think, that was so neglected with my old OA meetings. It was definitely not made to sound like it is imperative and that if I don't do it, I may lose it real fast. And even now, you know, with a few people here that are still somehow hanging in there, because mostly it's dead here in Israel. And if you don't speak English and you can't get on, and not everybody does, I'm very lucky that I can enjoy so much being part of this community of the Vision for You. But it just happened to me a few days ago that I was so sad about somebody whom I'm trying to help, and her, the resistance, and with the food even more than with alcohol, because it's, the world hasn't yet recognized how what a dire situation we are in with the food, that we've been kidnapped by industry, and all the food, all the children, people get into the, come to the army and they can't run because the 10 kilo overweight is like 25 pounds overweight, young people. So the imperative thing about helping others, I don't know if I would have survived now what I'm going through with trying to get myself into this assisted living, assisted dying place, forgive me for the expression, to get that thing together. And it's such a big change. It's the last, like the last stretch of this journey in my life. I'm 80. And what I enjoy most is trying to help others with this, or even just to make the public aware that all these operations that they do when the fat is between the two ears, and well, you don't throw a stone into a well that you drank water from, but AA, the way it was presented to us, or as our own Leah says, that from the moment that the OA literature was published, the sliding down happened because of soul cutting corners. You can't just, you know, mumble spirituality all day and be in the food. I thank you so much for giving me a chance to share. I pass.
Thank you, Rachel in Israel. All right, we got time for, I would say, three more shares. And remember that please, if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, you're welcome to share today. And I especially invite folks who have not shared before to jump in. The water is warm, and we're sharing on page 14, paragraph 5.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. Gotcha.
And Adrian M.
Patricia
Adrian
N.
M. And Patricia M. or N.
And
great. We'll stop there. Annabelle Z, go ahead and please share us share with your where you're calling for from, and then we'll follow that up by Adrian M.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z, and I'm on the road. Forgive the background noise. I'm from Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater. And the last several weeks have been very difficult for me because my father passed away, and my sister and I had to plan a funeral, and then I brought my mom, who has dementia, back out to Seattle with me. We got in 2 nights ago. And this topic this morning shows me that, and reminds me that what I just did and what I'm doing now is practicing the principles in all my affairs. And my heart, while still heavy from the loss of my dad and watching my mom grieving so much, I'm comforted in knowing that when I'm of service, I'm doing well by God. And when I'm doing the right thing, I have that spiritual experience. So many days of planning this funeral, my heart was palpitating, and I had my panic attack. There was so much to do for a funeral of 100 plus people attending. There was so much to care for in family and friends out of state coming. Yet, as soon as I remembered that my primary purpose is to serve, I had so much family saying, just being grateful and thanking me and encouraging me and saying what a great job I was doing. And I just said, no, it's not me. It's my higher power. I get that strength from my higher power. He is my power. And anyway, it just occurred to me with this reading this morning that is so true. It just doesn't matter how difficult our situation is. And when I first got abstinent, how difficult it was to resist that refrigerator and that pantry and those items that my binge foods just calling, and just that feeling of angst and nervousness. I kind of relived that a bit with, you know, the death of my father and all that goes along if you've ever planned a funeral for a loved one. But it was manageable because my higher power managed it and I was of service. And as soon as I remembered I was serving my sister and I was serving my father and my mother, it just all fell away, going, this is the right thing to do. And it's been difficult, but it's been, we can do anything abstinent if we trust our higher power. And that's all I have to share. Thank you for all your service.
Thank you, Annabelle Z, and thank you for reminding us to be of service today. Adrian M, followed by Patricia N. Please go ahead, Adrian.
Good morning, everyone. It's Adrian from Florida. I have spiritual awakenings like Bill does, spiritual experiences, as I sponsor and working the steps with my sponsees. I learn so much from them as I carry the message, as I see them grow and expand their relationship with their higher power, as they drink in the words of the big book. It's just an incredible process that I would not give up for anything. Tonight, I'm going to a group of women, and we're going to be playing a game where there's going to be food everywhere, food that I don't eat. And these women talk about their diets and they're in other programs. And it's great because I can carry the message and be sane and sober around this food without picking up and carry the message of peace and of recovery and joy and focus on them. And life is good by carrying the message. I get to grow and to continue building my relationship with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Adrian M. in Florida. Next up is Patricia N.
Yeah, this is Patricia Ann, A-N-N, from Florida also. All I know is that helping others is something that I haven't done, and I keep relapsing, of course. But there's something wrong with me, don't I just have a disease of compulsive overeating, but there's something when I get close to my goal weight or my goal weight and I stay there for a little while, I get so uncomfortable being thin that I don't stay there. So, yeah, so it's messed up. It's seriously messed up. The fear of success, I guess, yeah, the fear of success, the fear of being happy, scares me. Anyway, so I keep relapsing. I don't know. Anyways, okay, yeah, but I do know that helping others is what I need to do, and to stay on the meetings, because I do go to another 12-step program, and I have been sober for 20-something years, and because I go to the meetings, you know, and I know that going to these meetings and helping others is the answer to my dilemma. But yeah, I just have to keep praying. Thank you, I passed.
Thank you, Patricia Ann from Florida, and keep coming back. All right, let me just do a time check here. We have time for one more share. Who would like to take that spot?
I'll share.
Sorry, who was that?
Connie K.
Connie, we can barely hear you, so if you could just speak up a little bit. Let me go ahead.
Plug out. Connie K. from California.
Much better.
Oh, okay, good, good. Thank you. Also be overeater in California. Being of service, yeah, I'm so glad I'm hearing this today. Just waking up on the West Coast, and like I can be of service everywhere to everybody and everything, and my sponsor is doing such a great job with me, or I'm doing a great job with her. I'm 7 days today, which is really a miracle. I've been in program 38 years. I've never been able to string more than 2 weeks together. So program's working for me because I'm working it. And she's of such great service to me. She actually sent me a food scale, like a $6 food scale that I can't afford, and a pamphlet on the plan of eating. And it tangible things like that really, you know, seal the deal for me. So I'm just grateful for that. Just grateful for people that, you know, a sponsor that's got her eye on the prize with me. So thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Connie in California. All right, we do have time for one more share. Anyone want to grab that?
This is Reggie. I'll take that.
Jump in, Reggie. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. This is Reggie O, currently living in Texas and grateful to recovered. And I was sharing on this because altruism. I was, some years ago, I was thinking about altruism, and I thought, you know, is there altruism in the 12th step, you know, or is it, you know, the next paragraph states that it's imperative to work with others or I can't recover. And is that really altruism? But it seems like Bill and his hospital experience had that spiritual awakening about, yeah, what a wonderful thing to help other people. And maybe it's parallel, maybe it's, and in the process, I keep this recovery, you know, and it's been very freely given to me, so I freely give it away. And it reminds me of this, it just reminds me of the words of the song that touched me years ago, many years ago, filling up and spilling over like an endless waterfall. So I continue, the longer I'm in program, I continue to fill up more. My recovery grows stronger. It, you know, it reaches in different directions. And that can't happen unless I'm spilling over with it, unless I'm giving it away to make room for more. And so just this reading this morning answered a long ago question that, yes, absolutely, it's altruistic. And it's also necessary. So with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Reggie. Oh, and I think it's Texas. All right. Thank you for everyone who has shared today. We're going to move to the closing part of our meeting, and that'll be with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And then I have Jody E. up for reading A Vision for You, please. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Donna W. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.